Hello. On this podcast, we talk about movies, their faults, their flaws, and their plots. So, expect some spoilers.
You've been warned.
Welcome to Plot Spackle.
I'm John, and my water rating technique would be tubing.
I'm Eric, and water rating technique would be the age-old blood sport of water polo.
I'm Richard, and my rating technique would be parasailing.
And we are water rating in a raid world. We're going to have to fill some plot holes. What are we filling these plot holes with?
Fill holes with dirt?
We don't have any dirt. We just have water.
Dirt's made up. You know that, right?
There's no such thing as dirt.
Fill it with
water. Oh, wait.
Water,
so they use it for
pure hydro.
Pure hydro. We're filling plot holes with pure hydro as we talk about Waterworld. Yet another one. Of the great summer lacklusters. Maybe. I don't know if this actually came out in summer. I didn't check. I just know it lost a lot of money.
John, you don't check these things?
I just realized now I should have checked that. But this is a movie that has a plot, maybe. What plot Something does it have? Hey, Eric, you know about plots.
I do. Hey, have you guys ever seen Mad Max?
Yes.
Think about Mad Max, but with water.
Like, they don't have any water?
No, they... So, Mad Max, they don't have any gasoline, and that's what they're really
They have gasoline. They don't have water.
Oh, okay. So, Mad Max, they don't have water. In Waterworld, they have water, but they don't have gasoline or earth or something. I don't know. It just kind of... The plot kind of meanders on. But we have Kevin Costner as a sort of anti-hero. He's kind of a loner, and... Not going to lie, a big jerk at the beginning of the movie and the middle of the movie and almost to the middle of the or to the end of the movie.
Wait a minute. Are you sure you're not just giving me the plot of The Postman?
What's The Postman?
1997, Kevin Costner.
Nah.
Kind of a loner roaming a post-apocalyptic wasteland, becomes a reluctant hero.
Anyways.
We'll tape over that. Just change. Yeah, you can copy my answers, but just change it a little bit so it doesn't look like you copied.
All right. More water?
Yeah, more water. But anyways, so Kevin Costner is called the Mariner at some point in the movie. I didn't actually catch when. But he is on a quest to, look out for numero uno. Unfortunately, he has to take on two stowaways, and they guilt him into taking them to the dry land. At this point in the Earth's history, the polar ice caps have melted and completely flooded the planet. But there is a mythical land called Dry Land somewhere. And one of the girls happens to have a tattoo of a map on her back. Or at least it looks like a map. It just looks like an arrow pointed towards mountains. I don't know exactly how that's helpful.
There were numbers next to it.
But written in a different language.
The most important thing is at some point someone decided to tattoo a baby.
This is the most important point here.
The most important. The thing that Eric learned. Tattoo that baby.
Apparently it is ethical to tattoo a baby in... The post-apocalyptic water future.
And then you put that baby in a basket with dirt and just let it float away?
Apparently. Yeah.
It's like the Moses, but for Waterworld.
On their quest to find this dry land, however, the heroes are doggedly pursued by the Smokers, who are evil raiding people. Who are evil pirates hell-bent on conquering everyone else. Until for this 25-year-old movie. Yeah, wow.
25-year-old movie, everyone dies who's a bad guy or a bad guy adjacent.
And land, I guess. No, I don't guess, but they find land.
Yay!
So, happily ever after, except for the mariner who decides to risk his life on the open ocean again.
But he decided to do that, so that was his own choice. Unlike tattooing children.
Of course.
But he didn't tattoo the child either. It was Ryland who did that.
And they died too.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the baby.
Look, just watch the Universal Studios Hollywood Stadium, like, water show of Waterworld. It gets you all the really good bits anyway.
So now we know the plot. What are there any movie facts about this movie that has facts?
There are facts about this movie. For one, John, it is a summer was a summer movie. It came out on the 28th of July in 1995.
Woohoo. Aha, uh-huh. I was right.
Aren't you lucky?
I am lucky.
It had an estimated budget of $175 million. It was supposed to have a budget of $60 million, but things happened. And then, for its opening weekend in the U.S., it earned 21 of those millions of dollars, and then grew all the way up to 88 million of that 175 million.
That just for the U.S.?
That's just in the U.S. Its worldwide release actually took it all the way up to 264 million. So once it left the U.S., it was actually a fairly successful movie and has actually turned a profit of estimated $8 million now.
They made some money. Good for them.
Yay. As of, like, I think it was 2013 was the last update on the actual fiscal thing for Waterworld. So there you go. And on top of that, the budget got blown up because they had to rebuild several sets and an entire plot thread got removed from the movie because that set got destroyed and they couldn't afford to rebuild it too.
So they had to do a lot of work and just threw money away basically for no reason.
It is the literal incarnation of the sunk cost fallacy. Is this movie. They just kept throwing money at it until it was done. And, you know, I mean, we've already put so much money into it. We might as well put a little bit more so that it's done.
So we can finish it and get a profit.
Yes.
And we got to be even riskier because we need to make more money back from what we lost.
We do. So better put more money into this.
I half feel like this movie started out as a Free Willy, actually, and just evolved from there.
Well, it was originally supposed to be a mid-budget, like, children's adventure post-apocalyptic film by Largo Entertainment.
Oh, man.
And they were gonna do it as a post-apocalyptic movie because that way they could reuse old costumes and sets. Keep the cost down, right?
Yeah.
Except they were like, all right, well, Universal Studios can handle, like, the film distribution. But then Kevin Costner got involved. And then the script got rewritten so that it's a big. So we're going to have to redo all of these things and let's rewrite the script. And then they decided, all right, we have to either film in Australia or Hawaii. And unfortunately, it's winter in the middle of Hawaii and in the middle of Australia. So I guess we're going to film in Hawaii in the middle of summer. And apparently, guys, Hawaii gets, like, tropical storms in the middle of summer? Who knew?
They know now.
They learned this. And so that's kind of how you take a $60 million budget and end up at $175 million.
All right. Well, I mean, are there plot holes to this movie? We got plot holes to take care of. That's what the people are here for.
You're not here to hear about how you can spend more money.
Oh yeah. Just, you know, at some point you got to look at it and say, will we lose more money by releasing this and keep going than if we just stop now?
At a certain point, you can earn more money with a failure than you can with a success.
That's only if you're gaming the system to begin with and doing extremely illegal things.
Or using tax breaks.
Like Uwe Boll.
Yep, gotta take those tax breaks. But no, there are plot holes for this film. We didn't even have to search too hard. We've got some from IMDb and some from Reddit.
I got one from a website called List of Movie Plot Holes.
I wonder what they do.
On point.
It just has one, because it's a list of like one from every movie they can think of.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, should we get into this, guys?
We should get into it. As I write up on my tube and you come in with your, you're just swimming in water with a ball trying to be threatening.
Yeah. I tried playing water polo once, but the horses kept drowning.
That is a common mistake.
Should have used a seahorse. That's what they're there for. Bred by the Greeks to play water polo. True historical facts.
All right, well, should we start off with the Reddit post, since there's one or two?
All right, what does Reddit have to say?
So Reddit, let's see, this was posted by, what's the person's name? Posted by, oh, nope, they deleted, so never mind. Well, they deleted their name.
Hugh McGillweir.
Oh, I need to go into the old Reddit. I'm in a new Reddit, and that new Reddit's just horrible. Besides the point, so what Richard said, the plot hole for this is the Mariner had gills, a genetic mutation that took at least is capitalized, one generation or about 25 years to develop. He also appeared to be about 35 to 40 years old. At the minimum, it has been 60 years since the world was covered in water. Most likely more, as developing gills, unless you're an X-Man, would likely take dozens of generations. So there's the first plot hole in the Reddit post.
See, I don't think that's their plot hole. I think they're just going, it has to have been at least 60 years for their next point.
So they're building towards they're trying to establish that time has passed.
Yes.
Through
evolution
in gills behind your ears.
Yes. That if you have managed to have somebody who has evolved gills, that their next point is their big plot hole.
Okay, so their next big plot hole is cigarettes are entirely made of plant fibers, which are farmed on dry land. The last arable land was above water 60 years ago, so all the cigs the smokers are smoking have to be at least that old. Cigarettes left on board a ship or in a humid coastal environment never last more than a few weeks before becoming saturated with humidity and unsmokable. So unless the smokers have a freeze-dried supply of cigs in an airtight container, they cannot be the smokers. They might have to become the dippers.
And so I think that's their big thing, is that minimum 60 years since they were manufacturing cigarettes.
All right. So there's a lot of factors at play here. I've had some thoughts. One, for instance, is we don't actually know how much time it's been at all.
We do not. We do know that it has been long enough for everyone to assume that dry land is a myth and nobody knows that there are cities on the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, so we're going to go with probably longer than 60 years, actually.
All right. So that only means that cigarettes are harder to come by, John.
Well, yes. And they do go stale just over time. That's a thing that happens. And they are made out of plant material. The question is it actually going to be really humid or not?
Well, that depends on where you are on the planet, I guess. Though there is, in fact, water everywhere.
Yes. So there's always water.
So we have a baseline humidity.
Except for, I think we have a lower baseline humidity than what we should expect. Because we also happen to know there is not enough water in the polar ice caps to cover the world up with that much water. They need more water.
John, are you trying to get to another plot hole?
Well, I don't know if that's actually listed as a plot hole and any of the things. It's just one of those classic beliefs is, you know, oh, you can't have that much water. So where does all the water come from, Richard?
We'll get to that. We should solve the cigarette problem first.
Well, I think it's connected. I think that there's not as much humidity due to the answers we're going to give later.
All right. So if you want, I have my version of why there's so much water. I believe it's a failed terraforming experiment for terraforming Mars. So it's a way to just make water out of whatever elements you happen to have handy so that you could get to Mars. And it may have gone a little bit overboard when you tested it. And so now you have Waterworld.
So yeah, I think that the process is still going and it is pulling moisture out of the air. It also makes it why it's so hard to get pure water, because a lot of things that you would normally do to get it, just, you know, solar stills or rain, are not as common as they should be. That also means it's drier, so dry material will last longer, especially if it's still in its plastic stacked up in cargo containers.
And another point too, everything's smokable at least once.
Now, my not thing pleasant, on here,
but it can do it.
Do they know any better, John?
I don't think they know any better. I think that they like their cigarettes stiff and burning.
I will point out that there is that bit where the Mariner carries a lighter around in his mouth for like two scenes, just because he happened to dig it up, couldn't figure out what it was. So obviously it was something to stick in your mouth.
Yeah.
So people in this day and age will put just about anything in their mouths. And then the other thing was, we know that there is agriculture.
That's true. They've
got at least basic hydroponics on like the atolls, which we know that there's this one that we see. There was another one that got destroyed also by the smokers. Who knows what they were growing for trade? Maybe that atoll grows cigarettes. Or rather, the tobacco to make cigarettes. Anyhow, they could have had a manufactory there, and they probably have some kind of machine shop on the giant boat, because we have our homemade Mad Max car, our modified jet skis, a repaired plane, our...
Yeah, so they got some manufacturing going on?
They have some kind of manufacturing there, so... Why not make their own cigarettes?
But it takes paper.
Well, we know that there's lots and lots of plastic, and you can turn plastic into fibers. And you could just, you know, they don't seem particularly concerned about what they're smoking.
So it's extra carcinogenic cigarettes.
Yeah.
Those now smokers. Now with
extra death crystals.
Oh, man, I would not be a smoker.
I would have died.
That's right. All right. So have we covered this plot hole then?
I think so.
Well, the other thing, like they talk about how it would have been saturated with humidity and unsmokable, except there is a lot of fire going on in the depths of that ship. Even before Kevin Costner got there, there was a lot of fire everywhere. They had trash.
Everything's dried out.
It is a much drier environment inside that ship than outside. I don't think they're worried about humidity there. I think they're worried about dehydration.
All right. So let's see. Where are we going next?
Well, there is the bottom section of the Reddit post still.
Oh, there's another section?
Oh, there's more?
There's
more.
Oh, is it
about the jet skis, huh?
How do we refine gas for the jet skis? 60-year-old machine gun bullets still firing. If it's only 60 years since the cities went underwater, people alive during the movie should remember living in them. Well, first off, obviously it was more than 60 years.
Yeah, we've established it's old enough that dry land is a legend, and people believe that the world has always been covered in water, so it's been several generations.
So, but that gives us, how do they refine gas for the jet skis, and 60-year-old machine gun bullets still firing?
I don't think they're 60-year-old machine gun bullets.
Do tell.
We notice when the guy is firing that they are sweeping up the shells and putting them in a bucket. They're reusing the casings.
All right. So
fun fact, just to stay on this, if you watch the 3-hour version of Waterworld like I did, there is a scene of them reloading bullets and like making the lead for the bullets and reloading them. So
there's the complete shows you that they have been using bullets and then making new bullets as time has progressed.
Correct.
Well, there we go. Do they show them refining gasoline?
I don't think so, but a lot of stuff happened in that movie, and I just wasn't.
Now, I'll point out that they do have just a tank full of crude oil in there, and that crude oil has to be refined to get gas to the jet skis. So obviously they have some kind of refinery, again, just like they're making cigarettes.
They got a lot of people just doing stuff on that ship. They keep everyone's busy most of the time.
Because they can't always be inspired by the Deacon's speeches.
To go row, row, row your boat?
Yep.
He was pretty inspiring, though. Like, out of all the characters, or at least the actors playing characters or whatever, I liked him the best. He was an over-the-top villain.
I'm not going to disagree with you. All right, so they refine gas and make their own bullets.
There we go. That covers the Reddit post.
All right, so guys, my from this plot hole movie list. In the movie Waterworld, dirt is a prized commodity. In one scene, a man sells a tomato plant in a pot with dirt for half the price of what a similar amount of dirt would cost, as we know that he got the money to buy the plant with the dirt, with a jar full of dirt.
Though the jar of dirt
was... Why did the dirt in the pot cost less?
The jar of dirt had more dirt in it than the plant first. And probably the dirt is potting soil, which is usually made up of a little bit of dirt and a lot of additives, like plant fibers and just stuff you throw in to hold in water.
Melted old people?
In this particular case, yes. Melted old people.
So basically, is he was paying them in dirt concentrate to get diluted dirt back?
To get diluted dirt, but it was diluted dirt with a plant growing in it.
And so that's where it was extra valuable, because there was a tomato plant.
Yep.
It was heirloom.
One might say this, yes.
He didn't treat it very well, though. I'm going to throw that out there. He did just kind of like toss the tomato plant by the stem into his boat.
He was otherwise occupied at the time.
He's going to bruise that plant. It's going to die. He's going to waste half a jar full of dirt.
They find a mountain full of dirt, though, John.
Bad news, John. That tomato plant did not survive.
It did not. It was the real victim here. But yeah, that was it. It also had a thing about paper for cigarettes.
I don't know if we explained that paper is actually a valuable commodity, though.
Oh, yeah. It's because this guy, like, pulls out a jar and he's got some pieces of paper and he's like, look what I got. You want to trade this for these women on your boat?
He also says this is 2 atolls life savings. So 2 sheets of paper. And
now, I'm going to call BS on that because the dude was crazy, first off. Even if it is that valuable, then we have a couple of problems where, A, why are we letting the crazy guy walk around with it? And then B, it's only valuable like any other collector's item. If you have someone who's willing to pay for it or someone who cares about it. And the stuff on it, maybe... Now, the paper itself.
I think it was just like a brochure or pamphlet, because it was also like printed in multiple languages, like the same paragraph.
And that's my problem with it, is I'm like, I just think the dude managed to find himself some paper, and he's trying to scam somebody by saying that it's super valuable from this atoll. Because dude was desperate. And on top of that, the guy in the first atoll had a bunch of paper that he was using to reference when he was talking to the mariner when he was stuck up into a cage. So obviously paper's not that valuable.
I almost like to think that's kind of a weird flex on the smokers, though, saying, yeah, we're going to burn this super valuable commodity. What are you going to do about it?
All right. But yeah, there we go. That's from that list. Moving on to IMDb.
All right. So the first one on IMDb is our cigarette plot hole.
Everyone cares a lot about these cigarettes.
There's a lot of people who are addicted. All right. Sorry.
Addiction is not pretty, John.
Okay.
All right. Next is that there are two sources of fresh water that seem to have escaped everyone's notice in the film. Solar distillation of seawater and rainwater. And it's hard to imagine that with all the technology and gadgetry displayed in the various crafts in the film, the idea of solar distillation has escaped everyone. And also, no one seems to be trying to collect rainwater. There's abundant sunlight and clouds are seen, so it has to rain at some point, even if the action of the film takes place in an area with little rain, which is possible. So we'll deal with rain and solar stills.
So, yeah, with the rain, I'm throwing out there with the terraforming. I don't think it rains as much as it should. And even when it does, they have container problems.
And my thing is that we go with the, you know, no one seems to be trying to collect rainwater. Well, in the film, we never see it about to rain or going to rain. And so probably if it was going to rain,
they would pull out stuff.
They'd pull out stuff to collect rainwater. But if it's the middle of the sunny day, I'm not going to leave my barrel of water open and exposed to the sunlight where it can evaporate.
Now, see, I'm throwing out because they have a ever reducing number of viable containers to hold water because they have basically the plastic that's lasted that long. But, you know, you can lose your bottle jar, so it's going to float to the bottom and no one's going to get it. They can't really make glass.
But, John,
they
could weave baskets out of kelp.
They could weave baskets out of kelp, but that's not going to hold much water or hold it very well.
But we can.
They don't have pottery. They don't, like, they have a metal that's being corroded constantly. I'm saying that they're constantly running out of places to keep water. It's just a hard thing. And that's really their upper limit on possession of water. No matter any other system you have, if you don't have a place to keep it and also keep it out of the sun and a sealed container, especially, you're constantly losing water.
What about you, Eric?
So if you happen to have watched the 3-hour version, there is a scene where they talk about it's going to rain tonight. We're going to collect rainwater and refill our reservoirs. So this person obviously didn't watch the 3-hour version because in those numerous scenes, how could they not remember or that one 10-second scene?
All right. Well, there you go. Turns out that the
extended edition has the answers. Is it worth watching the extended edition, Eric, to find these answers?
So not going to lie, I hadn't seen Waterworld before, and I think a 3-hour version of the movie is a tough pill to swallow, not going to lie.
So if you already liked Waterworld, it might be worth watching, but if it's your first experience, maybe just stick to the regular one.
Exactly.
All right, so that covers...
Rainwater. But what about solar stills?
All right, so I think it's similar to the concept of lack of containers, and that solar stills require plastic sheeting.
Well, they don't require it.
But it's materials. There are materials you're going to need to do it effectively, and they just don't have them. And those ones they have are going to get destroyed through time. Misuse, slavers, smokers.
No. We cut out the slavers. We don't have to worry about them now.
All right. Just smokers. But that's my thought. It's something that's a lot easier to do in an established world.
I also suspect that probably like the atolls have it somewhere.
Yeah, that's where they get their fresh water to sell at the restaurants.
Yeah.
/ store.
That's how they can sell the pure hydro. And they've got the materials and the supplies to do it. And that's the biggest thing with solar stills is it takes time. Like if you've got several going, you'll have a couple of cups of water a day.
And don't they take up a lot of space too?
They can. You can have much smaller ones, but again, the bigger they are, the more effective they become. Which is why having an effective one, like if Kevin Costner like used one of the sides of his catamaran for a solar still, that would probably be pretty great. But he's busy running around on it and using it as a trampoline. So the atolls are probably our best bet for solar stills.
And they probably use a lot of it for their agriculture.
Yeah. Growing their tomato plants.
And their trees. They have a tree.
They do.
A full straight up full grown tree.
That they're willing to sacrifice both the honorable old people and weird freaky mutos too. Good thing weird freaky mutos won't do anything strange to our religious plant.
All right. What takes us to the next one?
And I believe this is our last plot hole. So the smokers are portrayed as pirates, but with their technology and crude oil, they could be the richest and most powerful people on the planet if they use that oil to distill seawater into fresh. The smokers don't care about turning seawater into fresh water. They only care about getting to dry land. Now that, I think they solved it.
I think that they actually really missed the point here on the smokers, is that they don't actually even care about getting to dry land. The deacon cares about keeping his people occupied and keeping him comfy.
Yeah, I think the thing about the smokers, the whole point is that they are in decline. They do have the largest population of anything we've seen, but they are running out of stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been riding high for however long it's been. They've probably been like this major force, major trader. That's why they have all the schmeat and the cigarette supplies. But now they're running out. They're running low. Everything's kind of starting to fall apart. And so he's got to keep them happy or find the dry land. He did want to actually find the dry land.
He did want to find the dry land.
And I figure, because if he thought, if we can find the dry land, we'll be big again.
Yep.
Make the smokers great again. St. D's. I mean,
that was his whole deal, was that he wanted dry land was a means to an end rather than this has been his lifelong goal.
Yeah, it was him realizing, like, he knows that there's a problem. They're running out of supplies. He's the figurehead. Things go wrong, it's on him. They're running out of supplies. He hears about the fact that dry land might exist.
And he's like, we're going to use this. I can use this to keep these people busy and occupied. Like, he points that out, is that even though he doesn't know how to read the map that's tattooed on the girl's back, it doesn't matter because they'll keep busy for months just on the promise that they have a map.
Yeah, so I feel like the smokers in previous generations were like the supreme power. And then as things started to fade, they turned more aggressive and started destroying atolls and trading posts to keep fueling their own system. Because, yeah, everything's eventually going to run out. That is, their survival techniques aren't going to last them forever unless they can get dry land. And that's the moral of Waterworld, I guess. That's the whole point. What about you, Eric? Do you have any thoughts on the smokers?
I mostly agree with what you're talking about. I would probably put them more as a mafia instead of just, they sound a little too altruistic in the beginning of what you thought they were, like they were looking out for themselves, but as their supplies ran out, they took from other people. I would always put them just as they're just going to take from other people. The might makes right sort of a deal. And
well, I think is positing a time before Mr. Deacon of the D's was in charge of the smokers.
Well, I'd still think they were always, they held the upper hand in every negotiation, but
you'll trade your cigarettes to us or else we'll blow your atoll out of the water.
Yeah. But they probably didn't destroy as much as they used to, as they'd come in, they'd probably threaten, posture, get what they want, give you something. So the concept is you're not as afraid next time when they come up, you're going to get something. And then when they started losing, they realized, well, they're going to take it now.
I also think it kind of has to deal with the population control. That's another reason why the smokers started doing what they're doing, because the atolls had, they actually had population control in place. They talk about, we only have kids when someone dies or whatever, or we have a kid or something. Whereas the smokers they're having a big party. Everyone's related to one another too. They're all cousins. So
they do bring that up as a problem on the atolls as well.
I don't think it was as much of a problem on that atoll as they thought it would be. They have a very wide genetic base,
but they weren't wide enough to accept fish people.
No fish people. No fish people allowed. You got the inn's mouth look, you get out of here.
Hey, listen, it might become a major motion picture someday and win an Oscar.
Also,
about the love of a fish between a man or woman, whatever. I don't know.
Between a fish man and a woman.
Nah, that'll never happen.
All right, so plot holes are done. Let's talk about this movie.
And crackpot theory is best theory.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner, as a fishman, is actually from Innsmouth. Because he's got the fishman look. And he just doesn't like people in general. That's why he left Innsmouth.
Yeah, Innsmouth is still going just fine, because they're all fish people, and that's why they all have gills.
And so he left, and now he's having problems with all these humans, too. Because they all want to hang out with him, and he doesn't want to hang out with people.
Also, my theory about why he left Dryland is because he thought he would die if he spent too much time swimming in freshwater. He's a seawater fishman, not a freshwater fishman. You got to make sure that you control the salt levels of your fishmen.
It's true.
If they're saltwater fishmen and they get into freshwater for too long, they'll die, and vice versa.
To be fair, if you throw most anything in saltwater, it will die. Except, obviously, fish.
That are
meant. Well, the right kind of fish.
And in this case, fishmen.
Fishmen. Yeah, so, yeah, Waterworld. It's a movie. I just find it funny that it was once supposed to be a kid's film. Because it's definitely not now.
Nope. But it started that way.
Do you think it would have succeeded as a kid's movie?
I mean, it really depends. Because, again, like, the script was completely different. So, maybe?
I mean, why did they even get Kevin Costner? I know he was big at the time, but it was not like he was big for kids. It's not like a kid was saying to the dad, "Oh, I want to watch this Kevin Costner film, Daddy. Can you go see this?"
I can tell you why, John. It's not because they wanted dads to go watch Kevin Costner.
Oh, it's for the moms who want to go watch the Kevin Costner with the kids.
There you are.
There we go.
I disagree with that, Richard. I think the reason they got Kevin Costner is because he was the last of the Mohicans, which means he's a limited quantity. So they needed to get him in there. It's simple economics.
Now we've watched it. How does it fall in the, which movie would you have with you if you can only watch one? We got four now.
Are you still Lone Rangering?
Or would you watch regular Waterworld, not the extended edition Waterworld?
Oh, I think I would need to watch original Waterworld first, just to see like how that is. But as of right now, I'm still going with Lone Ranger, just because it's a good hour and a half shorter.
Wasn't Lone Ranger 2 hours?
It probably was.
Wasn't it 2.5 hours? So the extent, it's only half an hour shorter.
The 3-hour Waterworld felt really, really long to me.
So you're still with Lone Ranger. Are you still with Valerian, Richard?
I think I'd still go with Valerian over Waterworld.
Yeah, it's a hard one. Just because at the very least, the Deacon is a great villain.
He's the best part of the movie, I would say.
Did you know that at one point, Gary Oldman was going to be the Deacon?
Well, that would have been even better.
But he ended up flipping a coin and was in Scarlet Letter instead.
Out of Waterworld, but for a coin flip. I'd stick with Valerian, I think, over Waterworld.
All right.
Because I've seen Waterworld a couple times now. I've only seen Valerian once, so I'm not bored with it yet.
There we go.
So how many times have you seen Waterworld, Richard?
I think this is like the third or fourth time I've watched it. And I've seen the stadium show like 3 times as well. The stadium show really is, if you want the best Waterworld experience, that's where it's at. It gives you all of the nice explosion-y, action-y bits in like 20 minutes.
So at least they got that out of it.
They did make 2 video games out of Waterworld. One of them was for the Virtual Boy.
Oh, the Virtual Boy.
And happens to be the only major movie tie-in video game released on the Virtual Boy.
That's not hard, because there was only like 22 games released on the Virtual Boy.
Yeah, but of those 22, one of them was a tie-in for Waterworld.
It's probably you running around on a jet ski. In 3D-ish.
Also,
VR,
John,
red light.
Did you know that Jack Black is in this movie?
I did not know.
He's the pilot of the airplane. The smoker pilot.
Oh, Okay, I can see that.
This well, is you did. Thing. He is.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I didn't notice that it was him.
Now you know.
Now I know. I was thinking, I'm like, that guy looks kind of familiar, but I don't know who he is. That was my thought on it.
That's who he is.
It's probably because he's a lot skinnier.
And he's sitting down the entire time. So
it was a different time in 95.
Yes, it was.
To me, it seems like Waterworld is definitely a 90s movie. Like, I mean, I know it came out in the 90s, but it is a quintessential 90s movie. Mostly because it was one of those, or the 90s were a popular time to do the, like, big set pieces. Like, you think of Hook, and they built the set that has the crocodile and the boat and everything, and they do the big wide shots, so you know, hey, guys, this isn't a soundstage.
This was built.
Yeah, this is huge, guys. Isn't this awesome?
Now they just do CG widescreens or wide shots.
Yeah, which I kind of wish we'd go back to the bigger set pieces. But
do you want them to be used well?
Yeah. Well, obviously, like, CG is good in small doses, but physical objects I think are better most of the time. Like, okay, for example, would the Alien movie be as good if the alien was a stop motion puppet?
I don't know. What does Ray Harryhausen have to say?
Well, he's dead, so nothing, but he could come back as one of his skeletons.
Probably not that great, having seen Alien 3.
Oh, yeah, that was the matte screen one. The different colored alien from everything else.
Yeah. So it is a very generational movie. You can tell what time period it came out in just by looking at it, but easy to date just by looking and watching.
Another thing with Waterworld, though, I think it had a lot of good ideas. I wish they would have cut down on some of the ideas and fleshed them out a little bit more.
I think it needed more distinctive visual concepts, like to help tell the stories, or just, you know, look, besides everyone's clothes are just like kind of the same gray, and it's because they're fish heights. Everyone's wearing stretched fish heights,
except for every once in a while where it looks like somebody's wearing recycled plastic.
Yeah, or netting.
Quick question for you guys: in the not ultimate edition of Waterworld, is there a scene where Kevin Costner catches a shark?
Yes.
Okay. I wish they would have developed that a little bit more. I wish you were shown more of the quote unquote sea monsters to show that this is a dangerous place. Like, not just because of the smokers, but like everything's out to kill you.
Yeah. Like the sharks are now crazy looking.
Crazy. Their mouths open like lengthwise instead of horizontally. But yeah, they're just like, they had the inventor at the beginning, and you know, he's important at the end. You know, he saves them and whatnot. But it just seems like
Waterworld Da Vinci there.
Yeah. I'm just going back to, there was a lot of ideas that kind of get lost in the shuffle.
Maybe due to the script rewrites.
I mean, we saw how well it worked out for Justice League.
I want to see the kids' version of Waterworld. Release the Snyder Cut.
Release the Snyder Cut of Waterworld.
Yeah, he's like, I didn't even make it. No, no, we want to see the Snyder Cut. Put it together. See if we can get a workable film out of this. But what cut of the movie would you like to see? You can leave a like on Facebook and maybe comment. What do you think about Waterworld? Do you like fishmen? Would you tattoo a baby?
Or if you don't want to go onto Facebook, tell us in 280 characters or less why it is ethically sound to tattoo a baby.
If you have a bunch of plot holes that we have just completely skipped and you need to let us know, you can send us an email to plotspacklepodcast@gmail.com.
And I also want to give out a shout out to our patrons.
It's because of those excellent people that we don't have to live like drifters or smokers or slavers or any kind of sea raider. We can just watch bad movies and talk about them.
We don't have to eat smeat.
So thank you for that, patron people.
But what is exactly in smeat? Like, how much is meat and how much is like processed non-meat?
Well, like, SPAM actually is like an acronym. Like, it's supposed to be like a smushed together shoulder of pork and ham.
Okay.
So the question is, what does SMEAT stand for?
It stands for off-brand meat.
No, it's easy. So SMEET is actually short. It's an abbreviation of It's Meat. So I think there's maybe the label got rubbed off. So it's like huge quotation marks.
SMEET. I can't believe it's not meat.
Oh, sounds like the worst version of impossible meat ever.
It probably is. I'm willing to bet
it's non-vegan. SMEET
is actually refined that green gloop from those things, and it's actually Soylent Green.
SMEET is Soylent Green.
SMEET is made of people.